Welcome to St. Luke's Lutheran Church's weekly sermon podcast, where our mission is clear: to love, serve, and welcome all. By all, we mean the whole rainbow of God's people. Join us as we dive into the Word of God to discover how to be a disciple of Jesus, living our faith every day. Let's walk this journey of faith together.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share in me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set for you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now, the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Okay, I invite the 12 people who said they'd be willing to represent the 12 disciples around the Last Supper table to come forward and take a seat, please. All right, thank you all. So we can picture this as the 12 disciples around the table with Jesus at the Last Supper. You don't have to say anything. At one point in the sermon, I'm just going to give you a stage direction. Okay, all right, here we go. Our passage from John begins. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. I don't know about you, but this phrase in John always catches me up short. How could Jesus love the disciples to the end? On the one hand, I understand why Jesus loves them. And he wants to spend this Passover meal with the disciples, and it's very reassuring. These are his closest friends, the ones with whom he has spent the most time, the ones who have traveled on foot with him all over the region and witnessed his miracles and learned his mission and sat at his feet and heard his teaching. And even the disciples have been teaching and healing themselves and have been sent out two by two. And so, of course, Jesus wants to celebrate this last Passover meal with them. And we heard in Exodus what they're celebrating, God's great act of liberation in the past when he led the Israelites out of slavery through the Red Sea into freedom and eventually into the Promised Land. But how can Jesus love them to the end? He knows Judas will betray him when he says, "Not all of you are clean." Even more than that, he knows how flawed every one of his disciples are, how flawed every one of us are. Once again, Peter disagrees with Jesus in this passage about washing his feet. Peter does not understand the love and the humility and the servant leadership of Jesus, and nor does Peter grasp after 3 years of being with Jesus the humility, the vulnerability, the open-hearted intimacy required of Peter to let Jesus in completely, enacted by allowing Jesus to wash his feet. Peter can't tolerate the intimacy, the discomfort of it. Jesus is about to go to the cross, and Peter is still arguing with him. You know, we get these recordings in Scripture about how often Peter is arguing with him, and it makes me wonder, how many times did Peter argue with him when they didn't record it? Right? If he's doing it at the Last Supper, how many times and he was like, "No, you're never going to die." You know, how many times was Peter arguing and they didn't talk about it? They didn't write it down. And Jesus knows that Peter's going to deny him 3 times in his greatest hour of crisis. And what about the others? James and John argued also about who was the greatest. And, oh, can they sit on his right and on his left? When Jesus needs his closest friends the most, when push comes to shove, Jesus knows these rough and tumble disciples will run off like scared rabbits and abandon and betray him like all the rest. Yet, Jesus celebrates his last Passover meal with them around the table. And not only that, he kneels on the floor in this immense act of service and love to wash the feet, not of friends who will stick by him no matter what, but for a bunch of duplicitous and cowardly and self-absorbed sinners. They were all going to turn their backs on Jesus, and he knew it. So, I invite all of our disciple representatives to stand up and to turn around and to put your back toward the altar. You put your back all the way to the altar. And listen again to not only what Jesus says, but how it makes us feel. Now, before the festival of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. It doesn't sound so good. It doesn't look so good. It doesn't feel so good, does it? I'm thinking, why did I design this sermon? This is not the Last Supper that we want our Lord and Master to eat, or at which we want him to share his deepest service and love, with a picture of all of us turning our back on him. If Jesus ever needed loyalty and focus, it was now. But instead of feeling the closeness of the moment, Jesus instead must have felt abandoned and forsaken. A painful foretaste of the abandonment and the forsakenness that he would experience on the cross. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. We hear the end of Psalm 23 differently in this moment. You prepare a table before me in the presence not of my friends, but of my enemies. I never put myself in that psalm. But tonight, for the first time, I do. How can Jesus love this? It would have been better if his disciples had just not shown up. Or would it? Would it have been better? Strangely, miraculously, graciously, Jesus does desire and love to sit with his half-hearted, easily distracted, fair-weather disciples. He does love and serve, not only through that meal 2,000 years ago, but through this meal that we are going to share tonight. So I invite you to turn around and sit down and face the altar once again. This is the meal that our Lord loves and serves. Not because we are so good or those first disciples were so good, because surely they were not, and surely we are not. Why? But because Jesus is so good. Is there a hymn about that? Jesus is so good. Jesus is so good. Not because we are able to fulfill our calling, but because Jesus is able to fulfill his calling. Jesus' love for his disciples so long ago and his disciples for us tonight are not based on our reactions and our response. It is not conditioned on our faithfulness and on our ability to follow him so faithfully. Jesus' love is based on his desire that we are close to him no matter what. It is based on his desire that we would experience deep and true forgiveness, not that we earned it. It is based on his desire that we have life eternal, that we can turn around and embrace grace. Jesus' wondrous love, there is a hymn about that, not only puts up with sinners like us, but he desires so strongly, so vastly, so immensely the embodiment of perfect love that he willingly lays down his life for us. And before he does, he gathers us like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, like a mother gathers all of her children around the dining room table. So it is not the posture of the guests at the table, either here or here, but of the host that makes this greatest love feast that ever was, and a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. So we at this meal are given the concluding vision of Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, shall chase after me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We dwell in the house of the Lord forever because Jesus loves us to the end, to the end of the cross where our sin is finished and we are raised with Christ victorious. We dwell in the house of the Lord forever because Jesus loves us to the end of time and to life eternal. And so tonight, we are all welcomed to this table with open arms, arms that open as wide as a cross. Tonight, we all find a seat with our name written on the place card. And tonight, we are all invited even to have our feet washed with humility and love. And tonight, our Lord eagerly desires to love us, to serve us, and to share this meal with us so that we might always know Jesus' love, Jesus' mercy, and Jesus' salvation. At this table, we grasp what it means to love others as Jesus has loved us with the same open-armed forgiveness and mercy that we have received at this table. Because tonight, sisters and brothers, disciples of Jesus, our Lord loves us to the end, where we shall all dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Dear Lord God, the forces of evil gather. They seek to blot out the light and power of your love. Let not the forces of greed, corruption, and hatred overpower compassion, integrity, and love. Turn our hearts and minds to Christ Jesus as we see again his radical obedience to your kingdom's way of peace and well-being for all. Help us to see your love for us all and your saving work to free us from the power of sin and death. We pray through Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Amen.
If you're inspired by this week's message and want to learn more about our mission to love, serve, and welcome all, we invite you to join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. We're located at 1210 West Beltline Road in Richardson, Texas. For more information, visit our website at stlukeslutherantx.org. Connect with us on Facebook at STLukesLC or on Instagram at STLukesLutheranTX. Thanks again for joining us today, and we look forward to welcoming you into our community.